This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Best of the Men's Room podcast. Let the shenanigans begin.
Yes, friends, it's time once again for Sit and Spin. Let's gather around the old radio and listen to some swellerific new music.
Oh, look who it is!
And few things go together quite like the right song and the right movie. It's like potato chips and ketchup.
Is that not a lost art?
What?
Oh, easy. But is that not a lost art?
Is that weird?
No.
No, it's not. You know, I think the movie soundtrack is probably a dead thing, like the compilation of songs from a movie that you go out and buy, just
sure.
Like the full album is sort of
but not a thing anymore, about the songs.
And movies like last year, one of the biggest songs was Lady Gaga and the song from A Star is Born, which course was Islands in the Stream.
Well, yeah, I mean, right. But the 80s, it seemed like with every movie that came out, it had to have a soundtrack.
I mean,
it had to have hits, and it had to have, you know,
the
most popular
artists.
But it
was the style of movie, right? Because for some reason in the 80s, like, we were convinced, like, we need to make movies about dancing, so like Flashdance or Cut Loose, Footloose.
People were oppressed in the
80s. Right, everything had to be, like, real upbeat, or it was that Molly Ringwald stuff, right?
Right, but there were plenty of movies with great soundtracks in the 90s. I think in the 90s, it was almost like the worse the movie was, the better the soundtrack had to be, like The Last Action Hero, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or
the Armageddon
movies.
Soundtrack.
Right, right, you know? Exactly. But, I mean, they hit the sweet spot in the 1980s, and maybe it's just nostalgia because this is my era of being a young man.
Right, right.
Watching movies for sure. Some of them. So we have two categories here. You have songs that were written specifically for movies, like Flashdance, for example.
Right.
And then you have songs that were made popular because they were in movies.
Okay. Right? All right.
Mm-hmm. All right. So this is all from the 80s.
Yeah. So like The Breakfast Club. What was the theme song from The Breakfast Club?
Don't You Forget About Me.
Don't You Forget About Me was the theme song. See, I didn't know that. I knew that song, of course.
Right.
I didn't know that it was the specific
theme song.
Yeah. Isn't that how the movie ends?
And begins.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember the movie Cocktail?
Sure. I love that movie.
Yeah.
And Kokomo.
Kokomo was the theme song.
Right.
Cocktail, right?
But that was when we first heard Kokomo was during Cocktail, which
and
in all honesty
was huge.
Maybe one of the better Tom Cruise movies out there, just to be able to kick back and watch and smoke a joint and just kind of enjoy in its own way.
For sure.
It's the story of TGI Fridays.
Correct.
And who doesn't want to watch a movie about how a restaurant was launched?
How about The Color of Money? Do you remember what the theme song was to The Color of Money?
I do. That was, there were two. There was Eric Clapton, It's in the Way That You Use It, and Werewolves of London from Warren Zevon.
You are correct.
Correct.
That's the one on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Werewolves of London?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
From the movie Werewolf in London.
No. That was an American Werewolf.
American Werewolf.
And that was a Bush
song.
I'm
so confused now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think that was a Gavin Rossdale song you're thinking of. So do you guys want to get into some of these? So these today are the 10 best theme songs from movies from the 1980s.
So the 10 best.
These are the best.
Okay.
10, number 10.
Don't need money. Okay, we'll see if we can get see if we can guess the movie.
Sure.
This is Huey Lewis in the News.
Yeah.
Correct.
But it's
from the
80s.
Yeah.
All of these are from the 80s.
It is The Power of Love.
I'll give you a hint. This is 1985.
Give me one of the people in the movie.
If I do that, you're going
to
get
Wall Street.
I know it's one of two things. It's either Back to the Future or Back to the Future 2, right?
It is Back to the Future.
Okay.
And I will say, looking at this list, all of these movies stand up, too. They all hold up. I would watch, if I turned on the TV today and there was a Back to the Future movie on any of them, I would sit down and watch it.
These are the top 10 movie theme songs of the 80s on Sit and Spin.
Number 9. Time to keep their secrets.
like I've ever heard this before.
I'll give you a hint.
Falcor!
Oh, never ending
it's
story.
Never ending story.
Is that Lamal?
Yes.
Why do you know that?
There's no need to know that. I didn't know.
Why do you have extra room in your head to know that thing
because
you
Lamal
just said?
Because Lamal was the lead singer of Kaja Goo Goo.
I knew that.
Who had a song called Too Shy Shy, Steve.
And by the way, Lamal is white. Let that sink in.
I don't think this is the Lamal version, but it's close.
For Lamal?
Lamal's a dude.
Oh, yeah. Lamal is a... Listen, there was a band called Kaja Goo Goo. Jesus. He was the lead singer of a band that was called Kaja Goo Goo. His name's Lamal. I guess this is a solo deal he's doing here.
Are you having a problem that there's a white guy named Lamal?
Isn't everybody?
It is a little weird.
If I say, hey, man, Lamal's looking for you, and a white dude, you would have no idea.
I'm getting out of town. I'm packing. Right. You moved out, man. All his stuff's gone.
Hey, Lamal's going
to
kick your
ass. I mean, his apartment was cleaned out. We went there to see him.
I'm sorry, Ryan doesn't live here anymore.
These are the top 10 movie theme songs of the 80s on Sit and Spin.
Eight, number eight.
I'll give you a hint. Also from 1985.
Okay.
This was a James Bond movie.
And this is Duran Duran.
Correct.
Is this Pierce Brosnan period? No.
Dance into the Fire. Wasn't
Roger
it,
Moore.
This is A View to Kill.
A View to a Kill.
Yes.
Boy, that does not stir anything in my memory.
No, it doesn't. And I like Duran Duran.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay.
Tim, not me either. I was never a James Bond guy, though.
Yeah, I know, but I feel like I remember most of his themes. That does nothing for me.
These are the top 10
He's
movie
no
theme
Lamal.
Songs of the 80s on Sit and Spin.
Seven, number seven.
Boy, the 80s had a real specific sound, man.
The artist is Prince.
Yeah, this is Prince Bat Dance.
Correct.
Batman.
Yeah, this is from the first Batman.
Yeah, when the Joker comes out, right?
That's right. Jack Nicholson is the Joker.
What year was that?
1989.
Oh, all right. Just snuck it in.
Prince rarely played the Bat Dance in public.
Yeah.
I think we know why.
Because it's awful.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. This is a steaming
Dude, that show
garbage.
Was amazing. He played Bat Dance.
Top 10 movie theme songs. I hope he does Bat Dance before the end of the night. Top 10 movie theme songs of the 80s on Sit and Spin.
That's his Freebird.
Number six.
Beverly Hills Cop.
Not only is it Beverly Hills Cop, I saw Castles. I saw this list earlier. I had a 10-minute conversation last night in a bar when this song came on.
This came on in a bar.
Right. And I was like, you know, I really know Eddie Murphy from Beverly Hills Cop. I didn't really know him from Raw. He was just like a funny dude that was a cop. I mean, that's why I heard it today and I looked at my cock. I go, why are you playing that song?
Why are you in my head, man?
This is called Axel F.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Axel Foley.
Yeah.
Top 10 movie theme songs of the 80s.
Fraternity.
Five, number five. Daddy, get me out of here.
Who is this?
Sorry.
Ted?
What is this song?
It's David Bowie.
Oh!
David Bowie's also in the movie.
Oh, Labyrinth?
Labyrinth.
This is the scene from Labyrinth?
It's called Underground.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay.
Hey, Miles, he didn't play this one.
He never plays this in his shows. I spent all that money.
And I did Labyrinth song!
Yeah, exactly.
Get me out of here!
I don't want to hear Major Tom or whatever, Space Oddity. I want to hear that one. Yeah. These are the top 10 movie theme songs of the 80s.
Four, number four.
Rocky III.
What on earth could possibly still be on this list if Eye of the Tiger is number three?
I'll tell you what. One of the greatest moments in a weird way in radio for us in our show was probably about 14, 15 years ago. Budweiser was doing Real Men of Genius as their commercial.
Right? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Real Men of Genius. They came in and cut a special commercial for us.
They did.
The guy who was singing that was Steve Beckler. Steve Beckler is the lead singer of Survivor. So the guy who sang our commercial is the guy who sang Eye of the Tiger, which I just think is kick-ass.
You are
but he
correct.
Didn't sing Eye of the Tiger for us.
No, he did not.
You did peak 14 or 15 years ago.
Well, yes. You know what? It was, I mean, it's okay. We all had our moment. These are the top 10 movie theme songs of the 80s on Sit and Spin.
Number three.
And you knew it was coming. Top Gun.
This is not a good
Kenny
song.
Kenny Loggins. You're smiling. Your mouth. Yeah. Everybody smiles when you hear this song.
I didn't say it does not make me happy. Makes me happy, but it's a terrible song.
When I was 5 years old, my mom drug me to coffee shops in Everett and made me watch him play acoustic before he hit a pig. Do you think that happened?
Probably. Probably.
Actually, it's probably more like, Bremerton.
Yeah, no, he was from Everett.
He was from Bellington.
Kenny Loggins up there in Everett playing at Salty Sea Days. If you live in Everett, you know.
Yeah, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's still in Everett, no doubt.
Right. Why would you move?
Yeah. Home's home.
These are the top 10 movie theme songs of the 80s.
Number two.
Something strange.
Oh, yeah. Ghostbusters. Who you gonna
call? There's nothing strange about your daddy.
If you go to his show, this is the only song he plays.
He does it twice.
You don't know the rest.
Hey, here's the remix.
Right.
Okay. That would be
Ray Parker Jr.
Ray Parker Jr., yeah.
Right. So our guy's got to be coming up, Miles.
Our guy?
From Caddyshack.
I doubt it.
Oh, wait. That's Kenny Loggins.
That's Kenny Loggins. Right?
Kenny Loggins.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was right. The other guy. Sorry.
Oh, that would be Lindsey Buckingham from That's Vacation.
Holiday Road.
Yeah, exactly. I'm tracking with you, though. These are the top 10 movie theme songs of the 80s. We made it to number one.
Number one.
Red. Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. This is bigger than Bat Dance?
Oh, for sure. If we did the 90s, Ninja Rap from Vanilla Ice would have been on there.
That was Ninja Turtles 2.
It was.
And we also get the Puff Daddy Cashmere.
Of course.
From Godzilla as well.
Right. Maybe next week with two 90s.
Thank you so much, Ryan Castle. We appreciate it. There you go on Sit and Spin.
Connect with the guys. Find the Men's Room at facebook.com/themensroom. Now, back to the Men's Room on the Men's Room Radio Network.
What didn't last very long?
My father was Japanese.
999 Ola.
My mom was Swedish. My dad was Japanese. We came out black
and
white.
How did that happen?
Give me a highball.
Some people think we were adopted. We're not buying it. Hello, John. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Ola.
Ola.
So I'm a full-time student, and this last Christmas break, I took the opportunity to try and find a job. And I took a position as a vehicle repossessor with a guy.
A repo man?
Yeah.
Vehicle.
I mean, it was
repo.
Quick money. That's why I thought it was a great idea.
What's the what's the adrenaline like on that gig?
Well, I'm an 8-year veteran. I've been deployed twice. And honestly, that was probably the most scared I've ever been.
Jesus.
That's fear. That's not adrenaline.
I mean, are you afraid you're going to get shot, beaten up, baseball bats in the back?
So my job consisted, like, I met up with this guy. And when I got in his truck, he introduced himself. And he hands me this little flashlight. And he says, all right, here's your job. I'm going to pull up to a house. And you're going to run up. And you're going to check the VIN number on the vehicle that I tell you. So basically, my job was to trespass on people's property that weren't paying their bills to check the VINs on their vehicles.
And a VIN number is like 20 letters in numbers. It's not easy to write down, right. You know?
Yeah.
And you got to know by the time the repo man shows up that you haven't made a payment in a minute.
I mean, people know, but I'm going to assume if you had to interact with anyone, they still blame you.
Like, now, they have not paid their bills. They're going to be pissed, but they know, so they're almost more ready for you.
So, did you have to interact? Did you ever get chased by dogs? People threatened to kill you? What?
I lasted one night. I spent my night. I live in the South Sound, so we jumped basically from trailer court to trailer court, and then we were around the casino on the reservation here, going circles around there. And I didn't personally interact with anybody, but there was people that saw me who were definitely, like, letting people know that I was there. Because they would see me looking in their vehicles, and they would skitter off.
Okay, let me ask you this. Are you getting the VIN number just to make sure that that is the correct vehicle, or is that also a way to get a spare key to be able to then go back and get the car?
It's just confirmation of the vehicle. So they have, like, this whole program in their truck. It's basically like a messaging app and like Google apps for repossessors, right? So they can look up a vehicle, and get all the information on this vehicle, color and location and all that. And then I just had to go confirm it.
So what did they then do? Did they go send a tow truck driver to tow the car away?
I would have given them the thumbs up. So we repossessed one car and a motorcycle that night. Basically, I give him the thumbs up. He flips a 180. We back up to the vehicle and as fast as we can get it the hell out of there.
Damn.
You're in a tow truck.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's what I was trying to figure out.
He's checking the VIN number. They're getting it.
Gotcha. All right.
Wow. Yeah, that's not a job I'd want. Because there are certain jobs where no one is happy to see you, right? So, like, if you're writing tickets and you're a cop, no one is ever happy to see you. The difference is I don't think they deal with as much sheer unbridled anger as you do if you're doing a repo, right?
Right, right.
You know, because, like, if you're writing a ticket, people are going to lie. Oh, I didn't know. I'm only 2 minutes, whatever. Repos, I'm going to kill you, mother effort. Like, that's not a job I want.
No. My daughter, she basically, maybe not the same exact situation as me. It was a different situation, but she was only at this job for about a month. But the training involved was 30 days before that to learn how to be a barista.
So wait, she lasted twice as long as you did.
She did. And this was before they even opened this location at this coffee shop, right? Okay, but during the entire time, there's a lot of inappropriate things going on.
What do you mean?
Well, as far as things that are being said to my kid, right?
By who?
By the manager, by coworkers, you know, that kind of thing. So she's like, I'll fight through the training and do it. So she lasted about 2.5 weeks.
All right.
Okay. And then from that point in time, she had to quit because she couldn't take it. So she got a job basically at a drive-thru. Now, I don't know what you know.
All right.
I don't know what you know about drive-thrus, but regardless if they're topless or not or whatever that crap is, she was not involved in any of that.
That's what she told you.
Sometimes, it's still barista.
Some people still treat you kind of that way.
Oh.
Yeah.
If that's, you know what I mean? Like if you're in a booth, I can say whatever the hell I want with you. Kind of like if you were in the store, the manager could say whatever the hell he wants.
Sure.
So she lasted there for maybe a month before she's like, Dad, I can't take it anymore. Like, it's like, guys older than you are saying like really, really nasty things to me. And I'm like, dude, I get it. She's like, it's not worth the tip.
Did you ask her for any examples?
Well, the one straw was that there was a guy in a car who was waiting for her to get off work who was parked in the parking lot.
Ugh.
Oh, Jesus,
and
man.
She's closing this up with money and everything else, and he had been creepy and come through like 3 or 4 times before, and as many times as she called the cops, like, hey, seriously, they wouldn't show up. So she was like, that's it, I'm out, it's not worth my safety. Like, she bolts to the car, you know what I mean, locks the door real quick, like he got out of his car to go walk toward her. She's like, I'm done, I'm out, none of this anymore.
Why do we have kids?
I know.
Why do we do this? Because I'm thinking,
you know me,
I can't wait for
you know
them
me,
to
all
out.
I want to do is get on my scooter and drive up the road and kick somebody's ass.
And if you get your ass kicked by someone on a scooter.
Hey, I'll be there in 55 minutes. Typically a 20-minute drive, you know, 15 minutes in the car.
Yeah, I don't know anything about coffee, but I mean, you know, you work in bars and restaurants. There's definitely definitely things that are said that wouldn't be acceptable anywhere else. But
oh,
the
absolutely.
Girl that works the front door or the, you know, what do you call them? The greeter or whatever.
Yeah,
it's usually the hostess is going to be a 17, 18-year-old girl.
Sure, mm-hmm. Yep. That's what she was.
That's why if I open a restaurant, we're going to have the ugliest people. No one's harassing. What are you with a 20-minute wait?
So like Baltimore.
Yeah, basically.
You know what I mean?
You ain't saying nothing, Baltimore.
Exactly.
I had to drop that tray and punch you straight in the face. Yeah. I know you didn't just slap my ass, mother.
How many? 4? Mm-mm-mm. That's going to be a while.
Well, what's your big ass friend going to eat?
Where's he going to sit?
Right. That is the Baltimore way, man.
Ah, welcome. What didn't last very long? 844-999-OLA.
Again, just an example of Baltimore. At a Burger King. You know Burger King.
Sure, I sure do. I never made it to the front counter, though.
I do not know this woman who was working the cash register. I have never seen her before in my life. Now, on the commercials, they show things like, good afternoon, welcome to Burger King. What can I get for you? All right, that's fair. My experience, and this is a quote, I had dreads, right? So I'm next in line. This woman, again, I have never seen her before in my life, looks at me and says, oh, M-Bomb, what'd you do to your hair? I just looked at it, and I'm like, I'll get a Whopper and an orange.
Reach out to the guys on Twitter at Men's Room Live. Now, back to the Men's Room on the Men's Room Radio Network.
All right, time for a little Your Guess is as Good as Mine. If I can hit the button.
Hit it.
There we go.
This thing's
on the fritz. It is an easy game to play. We give you two categories to pick from, and then from there you try to get as many right in said category before 3 strikes and you're out. Steve, who is our contestant, ready to play Your Guess is as Good as Mine.
I hate when you interrupt me humming this wonderful, beautiful, motivational song. Mm-hmm. But hello, Jeff. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola.
Hola.
Jeff, welcome to the program. Your guess is as good as mine. Okay, Jeff, here you go in the categories. We have for you, Jeff, the top 10 Looney Tunes characters of all times. You grew up with them. You love them. You like them. These are the top 10 Looney Tunes characters of all times.
Okay.
Then we have a new study from the CDC, and they tried to figure out which states are the laziest states in America. They interviewed thousands of people on the phone over 4 years and asked how much of their spare time included any, quote, physical activity in the past month. And a very popular answer was absolutely none. They asked what leisure time physical activity might you do, like hitting the gym, taking a walk, or just going around throwing the football with your kids. But around 25% of the population say they had no physical activity in the last 30 days.
Come on.
So we have the 10 laziest states in the United States of America, or the top 10 Looney Tunes characters of all time. Jeff, which category do you want to pick on your guess is as good as mine?
Oh, let's go Looney Tunes.
Looney Tunes, yes. Okay. You know them, you love them. Well, probably the most popular cartoons of all time.
All time,
first
yeah.
One, let's go. Got to be Bugs Bunny.
You're going to start with Bugs Bunny. Bugs is number two. Bugs Bunny, number
Daffy
two.
Duck.
Daffy Duck, number one.
I'm going to go out on a limb. He was always my favorite as a kid. Yosemite Sam.
Number six.
I will tell you, there is something to Yosemite. My kids started watching Warner Bros. They kind of re-released them. So they started watching about 2 years ago. And they laughed at all. But when Yosemite Sam just showed up, they think he's the funniest dude, I think because they know he's cussing.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. All right. So you got Daffy,
Sylvester.
Bugs, and Yosemite.
He's a Looney Tune, isn't he?
Sylvester the Cat?
Yeah.
Number four. All right, Jeff, you're kicking ass here, man. Four out of four.
Gotta be Tweety Bird, too, then.
Maybe.
Yes. Number 10.
Number 10.
Jeff, you're killing it.
Yeah, he is fringe.
You've got five out of the 10.
Okay, I'm starting to stall out. Help me out, guys.
Elmer Fudd, bro.
Elmer Fudd got to be on there. Absolutely.
Elmer Fudd is number 7 on the list. That is correct. So far, you've gotten Tweety at number 10, Elmer Fudd at number 7, Yosemite Sam at number 6, Sylvester the Cat at 4, Bugs Bunny at 2, and Daffy Duck at number 1.
Come on, man. You're missing.
What about that little Martian guy?
Martin? Marvin the Martian.
Marvin.
That's it.
All right, take him at number 5. It is true. He's the fifth.
I have the answer to all of Earth's problems.
Most popular Looney Tune character of all
and
time.
And for Ted, damn Gina.
Martin. Martin. Right. Martin
what do you,
the
what
Martian.
Do you think, guys? Give me some
Come
help.
Come on, man.
Bidi.
He's awesome. He's hilarious, even though he's kind of lame. Porky
Pig. Porky
Pig.
Let's go. Foghorn Leghorn.
Foghorn Leghorn is a great guess. Oh.
Porky Pig.
He did not make the list somehow. That's a shocker to me.
I am a little shocked.
Who is that?
Porky Pig.
Porky Pig. There you go.
Number 9. All right, man. You're doing real well here. Jeff, you've gotten 8 out of 10. You have one strike. There are two possible Looney Tune characters remaining.
Now, I'm trying to think. There's like, what, Speedy Gonzales? I don't know, but don't guess that yet.
No.
All right. I'm going to tell you where I think we've gone wrong. Who was kind of the... So it was Bugs Bunny and Friends. I'm going to guess that either the Coyote or Roadrunner is probably on there.
Oh, yeah, you hit it.
But wait.
Yeah,
hang on.
Let's go with Coyote.
Coyote is number 3. Wile E. Coyote, you are correct. 9 of the 10 so far, Jeff.
How many strikes do I got?
You've got one strike against you.
All right,
Let's go with the Roadrunner.
The Roadrunner is number 8. You are correct.
Wow.
You are 10 for 10, Jeff. That is absolutely amazing. With one strike, maybe the best contestant we've ever had on your guess is as good as mine.
I will say this. I'm shocked. The Foghorn Leghorn is an honor. I didn't love him as a kid, but the older I've gotten, when you listen to the words that he says, he's funnier than F. That's one.
There's also Rhode Island Red, his cousin.
Right. And Pepe Le Pew.
Pepe Le Pew was the weird little skunk dude, right?
He was always in love with the cat. And he was awesome. I'm coming for you, my darling.
Do you guys remember the sheepdog that watched over the herd to keep Wile E. Coyote from attacking?
Like flip it up.
Now, wait. Yeah. Was he Sam or Ralph?
There's two.
It wasn't Wile E. Coyote. I hate to split hairs, but Wile E. Coyote never spoke, right? And he's always chasing Roadrunner. That other coyote where he just punched in with the sheepdog to do the... He had the red nose.
Right. It was Ralph or was it Sam? Morning, Ralph.
Morning, Sam.
Morning, Sam. That was one of my favorites.
Listen, if you have not watched a Warner Brothers cartoon in a while, just do yourself a favor and watch. I'm telling you, these things, to me, they are still the funniest damn thing ever.
Want more of The Men's Room? Download the new podcast from Miles and Thrill, The Greatest Story Never Told. Available on radio.com.
Money, what's the story of the time you lost, found, stole, made, or spent it? You were saying that your husband put all of his money for the Christmas, for the kids, in cash, on the top of his car accidentally when he went to get a coffee and drove home with a wallet on top of his car. So the wallet falls off. And did he backtrack?
No, the wallet falls off. He comes all the way home to Bellevue. Now it's like 1:30 in the morning. I'm freaking out. He's freaking out. We go back with flashlights, and we search for probably 2.5 hours anywhere it could possibly have flown off the car, right? Find nothing. He's totally distraught. I'm not mad, of course, because it was an accident, but everybody was bummed, right? And not like a week later, we get a package in the mail, and this is the shadiest part of Seattle that you could go to. The wallet is in this package, has all the money in it, all his credit cards, everything, and it says Merry Christmas.
Maybe it's not as shady as people think it is.
Well,
you can be on heroin and be a decent person.
It was just a lucky experience. Yeah. It was just really like, I couldn't even believe it.
Okay, let me ask you this one question. Because you said one of the things on the note, they added Merry Christmas, right?
They did.
Do you think if it was not Christmas time, there's no chance you got the wallet back?
Here's what I think. I think it fell off at the gas station.
Sure.
And I had gone into the gas station, and the two kids that worked there were incredibly stoned out of their mind at the time. And I kind of berated
that
them.
That is a shady neighborhood.
Seen anything. And I was telling them the story that it was the kids' Christmas money, and I was kind of pissed and upset.
Oh, man, you put them on the heavy. They're going to take that money. We can buy it down to that.
You know, as soon as you left the conversation, dude, you got to send it back, man.
I think it was those two kids. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
At least it's in a bag.
Hey, that's awesome.
Throw, I'm with you. In all honesty, like if it was March and I found a wallet, I'd probably keep some of the money.
Time
keep the money.
A chance, right?
But it's Christmas time, right? And it's obvious that like somebody had saved up to buy like gifts. I'd be like, all right, I'll.
It'd have been great if she's like, we're Jewish.
Timing is everything.
What do you mean, Merry Christmas? F you.
Money, what's the story of the time you lost, found, stole, made, or spent it? 844-999-OLA.
Jesus was actually born in the spring. That's when the census were.
I'd have written Happy Kwanzaa from your brother from another mother. Hello, G. Welcome to the men's room.
No!
Hello?
Sorry, guys. I just freaking wrecked. I'll call you later.
All right.
All right.
Okay, then. All right. You
have we ever had that happen before?
Is that on us?
That is great.
Well, I don't know. I mean, look, he was on hold, man. You know we're coming to you. That's kind of the idea of hold. And wow.
That call was expensive.
I feel kind of bad, man.
I feel real bad right now.
Oh, no. We got to find out what happened to G there.
Yeah, G, just let us know, man. Let's... Mm-hmm. Everything worked out.
G
there.
Money.
Oh man, that was awkward.
That was, and that's something. Yeah, that sucks.
Oh boy.
Life comes at you fast.
Yeah. I really do. Hey, can we run that back? Is there any way that we can listen to that again? Yeah, I would love to actually hear that again. I don't know if we have the technology to
just hear any like go back crashing in the background.
Just go back in time. Like,
he must have done it like right
that.
Before we.
That's about 10 minutes. 10 minutes. We got to wait about 10 minutes.
We got to wait 10 minutes.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, we'll do it right before the email.
There you go.
So I just want to see. Because it sounded like he went,
Yeah.
And I thought he was just saying something.
I thought he was just like, no.
Oh, is that what it was?
It wasn't good.
All right.
I just wrecked.
Oh, man.
I'll call you later.
What's the story of the time you lost, found, stole, made, or spent money? 844-999-OLA.
Car crashes are the worst.
Hello, John. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores.
Liquor and whores.
How are you guys doing this afternoon?
We're great.
We're okay.
Yeah. G, not so
poor
much.
G.
He's not doing so good.
No, he's not. No, he's not.
Hey, concentrate on the road there,
and he
friend.
And he didn't cuss, too, which was impressive because he wrecked his car.
Okay. All right. So quite a few years ago, I always paid my rent in cash. So I'd go to the bank. You know, I'd withdraw the $750. And then...
That was years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So then, you know, I go pay my rent and everything's good. Well, I check on my bank account statement that $750 never came out of my bank account.
So they actually physically gave you the cash, but they did not...
Take the money out of my bank account.
All right, so they did not...
I've seen this one before.
And, well, eventually, though, when they straighten out that drawer from the day, don't they figure out, because the number's the same. So if you're going to be short or over or whatever the deal is, it's still going to be the amount of money that was withdrawn.
But
so
the problem is, because, listen, it happened to somebody I knew. They gave them a receipt. So you could go back through it, but all your receipts would technically add up.
Yeah. Okay, all right. So you still got the money. You got a free month's rent.
Free month's rent, and it still never came out of my bank account.
How long did you wait to blow some cash?
Oh, I was pretty broke back then, so...
not long.
It was just a free month's rent, and that was great enough.
Yeah, I'd take that now.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. It's always cool when the bank screws something up.
I've never had the bank screw up like that. If they screwed up, it wasn't in my favor.
Well, the guy I knew, he didn't even realize it. Like, we were sitting in his car, right? And, you know, like, the tube...
The tube comes back
with the receipt, and he just kind of grabbed it, didn't really think about it, and then, like, we pulled away, and, like, two stoplights, he was like, oh, man, they gave me, like, the $400 back, because he was a bartender.
All right.
And it was just like, you got the receipt? Like, yeah, and I was like,
go.
Strip club.
Can't get enough of the Men's Room? Listen to the Men's Room Daily Podcast on the Radio.com app.
Game is Big Dummy 844-999. Ola, who is our next contestant ready to play the big game?
Oh, God damn it. Hold on. Let's see here. Hello, Daniel. Welcome to the men's room.
Big Dummy! Good evening, gentlemen.
Hola. Good morning, Daniel. Daniel, are you on team sober, not sober?
I am happily sober.
All right, Daniel, welcome to the show. We have a men's room poll. Looking for you to pick a show to be on. Will it be Cops, Cheaters, Maury, or Intervention? Out of those four, which one are you taking?
I'm going to say Maury.
Maury, oh, really? Yeah. Why are you picking Maury, just out of curiosity?
Well, I see that there's a lot of drag queens and things like that that go on that show, and hey, why not one more?
All right, well, there you go. Fair enough. You probably could go on the show. They're always looking for that.
But here's the problem, man. See, they're going to tell you it's for drag queens, and you'll show up, and then at the end, Maury's going to be like, and you're the father.
Yeah, and you know what?
Listen,
yeah,
right. If you go on Maury, I don't care why you think they invited you. At the end of it, you're going to realize you're part of a paternity suit. I don't care what you do. I don't care if a woman went on there solo. By the way, lady, you're a father. Like, that's just how it goes.
Yeah, are you a drag queen, Daniel?
I'm hoping to get more into it as time goes on.
They'll probably bring like all your conservative relatives on the show.
Oh, of course.
I mean? Yeah. Cornered.
Hey, listen.
By God.
In the drag queen world, can you have like different royalty? Because you said you want to get more into it. So are you more of like a drag princess now? I feel like if you're full in, go for queen. You know what I mean? I feel like there should be designations.
Yeah, it's like maybe princess right now may work up to a duchess sometime in the future. You know?
A drag duchess.
How's your makeup game?
It's doing.
Okay, all right. Because I find that my daughter all the time is on YouTube. That's how she's upping her makeup. Oh, yeah, they have all these instructions.
There's a huge makeup scene.
There's a pretty famous drag bar by my house. And it's just funny because sometimes I see the people going in there. They don't have their dresses on, but they just have the full makeup and like hair on.
Okay, so but they got it halfway done.
They're halfway. Yeah, it's just kind of funny. Like, I know where the drag queen's going.
It's like the women wearing tennis shoes downtown, and you know they're going to put on heels.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're almost
done. Once they get to work.
My favorite, there's a street in Baltimore, Calvert Street. And then there's one part, the drag queens would be out there, but they were also prostitutes, okay? So this was their game. They knew at 2 a.m. they show up. So they'd always do the thing like, hey, you looking for company? You're like, nah, man. They'd be like, all right, brother, have a good day. I'm just like, well, at least stay in character. You know what I mean?
They don't need to now.
Cinderella Disney doesn't flip you off because they didn't like you, you know? All right, here.
Why don't you get the hell out of the park?
At least stay in character.
We're going to have to ask you to leave.
Right. Blew my fantasy.
Goofy's going to break a foot off in your ass.
Gosh. All right, the tallest structure in the Western Hemisphere. It's a TV transmission tower. Is it located in the state of Maine, the state of Iowa, or the state of North Dakota?
I'm going to say Maine.
I'll say Iowa.
North Dakota. Oh,
North Dakota.
I can't imagine what the second tallest structure is, right?
Hey, Daniel, random question. What's the correct pronoun when talking to a drag queen? Is that a he or she thing?
When they're in drag, it's she, because, you know, it's the character. But out of drag, it's whatever they prefer. Mm. Most men for he, like, normally, yeah.
All right. We prefer sir, but only when we're on the air.
Mm. I like people say, oh, my friends call me James. No, you will call me sir.
I hate it.
You
I
are not it. My friend.
I get it all the time.
What's
like,
that?
God damn it. The what, sirs.
Well, it's just means you're getting old.
Yeah.
Yeah, just being old. But I mean, like the other day I was helping somebody just like find a parking spot. And he's like, hey, I thought we were like chopping it up. And he's like, all right, thanks for all the help.
Oh, old man.
We're going to the same bar, dude.
Doesn't matter. You're the old guy there.
I am the old guy there.
Oh, I know.
All right, your question. Geographically speaking, the biggest American city is located in what state?
Geographically.
That's a tough one because, like,
it is.
New York is big, like, spatially because there's, like, a lot of buildings.
No, this
but
is.
But I think like, L.A. is even big. L.A. is big. Houston's big.
Is, yeah,
this is a weird one. Like. This is, like, Norfolk or, like, there's a couple of these towns that are just. Spread out. Houston's a big town.
Houston is massive. Norfolk can't only because Portsmouth, Tidewater,
right, okay,
Virginia
right,
Beach, right?
Names around it. But there's a couple of these weird towns. They just own a S-ton of land.
Right. So
it's like
all
municipal. They're borders.
That's what's always the misnomer. So they'll say, hey, man, 5 million people live here. I'm like, yeah, but 5 million people live in a massive space. You go somewhere like New Orleans or Baltimore, 600,000 people in a teeny tiny area. Mm-hmm. It's a much different experience.
Yeah.
So what state do you think the large... I'm not asking for the city because no one is going to know, but the state.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm just going to say Alaska. That's where I'm throwing my name in the hat.
I'm going to take a shot in the dark. I'm just going to go with my gut, I think. I'm going to say Massachusetts.
Texas?
I don't say this much. I don't think I've ever said this before. You should have listened to Miles.
Oh,
Alaska.
Wow.
Believe it or not, it's Sitka, Alaska.
Really?
Huh. All right. Very good.
All right. Your question. True or false? The official name of Mexico is the United Mexican States.
Oh, I remember this. I've taken 2 years of Spanish. Oh, I know this. I think it was true.
All right, Daniel.
You are correct. Good,
connect with the Men's Room on Instagram at Men's Room Live. Random.
Hello,
random,
Alex.
Random,
welcome
random,
to the Men's Room. Random,
release the Kraken.
Hola.
Hola.
Alex, welcome to the program. Random question. Random. Okay.
Glad to be here.
It's going to be a tough one. How many times do you use your towel before you wash it?
Maybe 3 or 4.
So you go through 2 towels every week?
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm probably right there with you.
What's your litmus test?
Say that one more time.
Is it the smell? Is it just the fact that you know it's done? Do you have a theory on this? Like, okay, it's time to get rid of this thing?
The smell.
So once it starts to get a little bit of a funk on it, you are out. All right.
But wait, if it does not get funky for whatever reason, do you just keep using that bad boy?
No, I throw it in the wash machine.
Even though, okay, all right, that's pretty good. Ted, how long do you go between washing a towel?
Hey, once a week?
I might be once a week. Maybe sometimes even a little longer.
Yeah, but it's got to change soon.
Why is that?
Because I know anymore? What he's about to read, and I read that last week myself.
We know we should do better. I think there's a million, and I know you're
going to
hit me with some horrible news.
I know.
I almost don't want to know, because even though I feel pretty good about it, I feel like I'm still not doing it.
I've been on fire in the new year because I got a bunch of new towels, so I want to keep cycling through.
All right, that's a good idea.
But
it's
only because of that I've been watching them more.
I was at the Fred Meyer grocery store yesterday, and I needed a loofah. You know, so I could wash myself, right?
You use a loofah?
I do use a loofah.
Do you get the Martin Luther King?
I do. I got a black loofah this time.
All right, the Martin Luther King?
I swear to it.
I got a loofah right here. It's got my right hand.
Okay. But I use that loofah until basically, the old one I had, until it kind of broke down or whatever.
I was going to say, how do you know when to replace a loofah?
Because it starts to fall apart. And then I noticed that on the tag, it said 30-day loofah, right? That's what it's called. They're
all right.
All called the 30-day loofah. Do you
how
know
long
why?
Do you have it?
Do you know why they're called the 30-day loofah?
You just throw it out after 30 days.
That is correct. Pretty sure I had mine for about 7 months.
Ooh, nice!
I'm just telling
work.
You, like I'm in the tree, right? We're in the tree.
Did you replace your loofah?
I didn't know it was only 30 days.
I don't use a loofah, but I just assumed.
Is your man?
Oh, come on! Am I the only man in here to use a loofah?
In here, yes.
You use a loofah?
Does Mike
use a loofah? No.
Wash
Robin,
rag?
Do you use a loofah? Am I the only loofah?
Rob is more of a man than you.
Oh my! I thought the loofah was a normal
thing. And by the
way,
if Robin used one, she would use the loofah Vandross.
So loofah's not a Judge Smale's wife.
Loofah's not normal? Yeah, could you loofah my bag?
Could you try the Lex loofah?
Yeah. I mean, come on. Nobody? All right.
No.
Wow.
You know why? Because it only lasts for 30 days, Miles.
Anyway, the question was, how many times do you use a towel before washing it? Has nothing to do with the loofah. Once or twice, maybe all week, they say? Or do you just wait till it starts to stink? Someone asked an expert, and the magic number is 3 times. That is the maximum number of showers you should use the same towel for. Then it is time to wash it right away.
Right away? Why don't they say it like that?
Here's why. Bacteria and mold start growing each time a towel goes damp. Hanging it up to dry slows down the process, but does not stop it. So once you've used the same towel 3 times, it hits a tipping point. And after that, you're basically just rubbing bacteria and mold all over yourself when you're done with your bath. Three showers.
I feel clean.
But I smell good.
Yeah, but...
You know, I smell like Irish Spring, but guess what? I'm covered in bacteria and mold.
They say the 3 showers only applies if you hang it up to dry right after you use it, though. If you toss it on the floor and hang it up later, it stays wet longer. You might only get 1 or 2 uses out of said towel. Washcloths are different, though, because we don't just use them to dry off. When a towel gets soaked, it takes a lot longer to dry, which gives mold and bacteria more time to grow. So washcloths should really only be used 1 time. I've had the washcloth. I also have a washcloth. I've had it in my shower for the entire week that I've had my towel.
I'm not worried. I'm worried about your loofah use.
Random. What's wrong with my loofah? Don't you have liquid soap?
I don't use liquid soap. I use a bar.
I have a foaming soap. Random,
what is that?
Are you a hand washer?
I am. Sometimes I use a wash rag, but oftentimes I just use a hand. But I bought a shower foam from Dove, and I'm very happy about it.
Are you a hand washer?
You sound like the toughest mother effer I have ever met. I got a foaming soap from Dove, player.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a hand washer.
You're a hand washer.
I'm a hand washer.
Mike, you a hand washer? Hand washer. Robin, hand washer? Huh. I'm the only non...
Somehow now it's awkward in here.
I know.
Because everybody's
I feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want you to feel bad about, you know, using Lex loofah, but...
I can't believe I'm the only one here who uses a loofah. Do you guys not use a washcloth either?
Rarely.
Never?
I don't know.
How do you clean your ears?
This is weird. If I'm at a soap up my fingers and Q-tips.
You just stick your finger in there and all wet? All right.
Give myself a wet willy.
Not your finger.
What do you put in there?
A Q-tip.
Yeah, but how do you wash them in the shower?
That's what I'm saying. I just get soapy fingers and then wet willy myself.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, for
right.
Like the inside. You know?
Yeah, I don't dig into my ear when I'm showering.
You don't stick your finger in your ear and clean your ear out?
I do.
Okay.
But then I also Q-tip when I'm done. But no loofah.
I do too.
Otherwise, I'm hand washing. I'm very primal, man.
Have you tried the loofah?
I like to touch myself. I have, and I will say.
It's great.
It's
it takes a little time to break it in when you buy a new one.
Maybe that's the problem, man. It's like taking a Brillo pad. And I'm like this. I'm not trying to exfoliate, I just want to. Take a shower.
Yeah, I feel like the loofah is very dated. Like there was a period where everybody was using them.
Yeah, I feel like there was a loofah everywhere.
Right now it's kind of slowed down. I mean, look, I'm not giving you a hard time, but
okay.
My mom still uses them.
Yes, she does because she knows what's up. 75-year-old
old lady.
Right,
you say I'm not giving you a hard time, but. My 75-year-old mother
this is
who choked on a garlic knot uses a loofah.
I think being a hand washer is more unusual. I think it's just a numbers game.
It might be.
Obviously, it's not.
Yes,
there's
it is.
5 of us. 4 of us are hand washers.
Just a hand in the soap.
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you, foaming soap. Robin knows about it. I tell her once a week.
Do you get very bubbly in it?
Oh, it's great. I try to make myself into
a
snowman.
This is like a grown man's bubble bath. It's just in the shop.
Standing up.
Yeah, I'm standing up, though.
Like a man.
Connect with the guys. Find the Men's Room at facebook.com/themensroom. Now, back to the Men's Room on the Men's Room Radio Network.
Robin, have we made it to drinking time?
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the Men's Room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Drink time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk and Steve Thrill Hill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed. Today we toast the cross-country team at, I'm going to struggle with this, Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute in Troy, New York. These guys, I love their line of thinking. All right, so look. They're the cross-country team there, and they really, really, really wanted some Chick-fil-A for lunch last week. The problem is the closest Chick-fil-A, believe it or not, it's 90 minutes away, and they all agree that maybe a 3-hour round trip is a bit excessive for a chicken sandwich. But that did not stop them. What did they do? They came up with brilliance. They realized there is a Chick-fil-A a lot closer, located in Albany, which is not far from Troy, New York, but it's located at the International Airport, but it's only 15 minutes away. But they had to get inside the terminal to get the Chick-fil-A, right? And the way security is, you can't just walk into the airport and say, hey, I want to go to Hudson News. They're not going to let you in. So what did they do? Well, about $5.50 each, right, per person on the team. They pulled their money together, and they bought themselves a $98 one-way flight to Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
That's a pretty good price.
That's a very good price, right? It's one way. But again, if you're flying from New York to Florida, that's all the time, right? So $98 each one. It only costs them a little over $5. Then the team captain used the ticket to go through airport security, where he bought $227 worth of Chick-fil-A. He then left the airport without flying on a flight, obviously, and delivered the food back to the teammates. The 18 guys ordered 15 Chick-fil-A sandwiches, 15 large fries, 156 nuggets, one bag of cookies, and one lemonade. Again, for the grand total of $227, that's all the Chick-fil-A they got. So, in the end, they drove to the airport, had the plane ticket for a flight they never intended getting on, bought the Chick-fil-A, came back, fed the team. Mm-hmm. Me, personally, I believe that to be sheer genius.
Yep.
I love that. That's a brilliant move, man.
It is. I can't stand the idea of the Chick-fil-A's in the airports. I'm always in the airport on Sunday.
I know.
It is the worst thing. I just had this experience not too long ago. Once again, it's a Sunday. There's a Chick-fil-A. I mean, it's just, it's 80% of the time, it's Sunday for me for some reason.
And it's going miles.
For 7 days in the week.
Miles. Right?
It's always Sunday.
Because you fly back on Sundays.
I know.
Why don't
do
you consider this?
So, okay, let's just nip it in the butt, or bud.
Bud.
Mm-hmm. I'll nip it in the butt.
Don't get excited next time. See, well, you need to lower your expectations and not get excited when you see a Chick-fil-A, because it's Sunday. If you see one, it's a Sunday.
But, Ted, like, sometimes I'll take a Saturday night red-eye, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I forget, because I left on Saturday night, that it's Sunday where I am in the morning. So when I roll out of the Atlanta airport, and I'm half-glazed eyes, and I see the Chick-fil-A, I'm like, Chick-fil-A!
Mm-hmm. My life.
You mother, and I forget
it's Sunday. To be fair, though, in the Atlanta airport, not so bad. Georgia has great food.
There's a Popeyes.
There are some cities where you're like, man, please don't let it be Sunday because the food here is absolute garbage.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And that's when you want the Chick-fil-A. Mm-hmm. Just saying. But, yeah, these guys, I thought that was a brilliant plan.
That is.
I liked that they pulled all the money together, nothing illegal, kept it simple, and that's
it's kind of shocking how much the mall retail thing has really taken off, and it has. Believe it or not, as far as brick-and-mortar places go, airports are more successful now than almost any other walk-in franchise.
Because you're not going to be there.
You do have to be there, but you would think that they would figure out a way to maybe open that up, but I guess they can't based on security.
Because
back in the day, you could go to the airport and you could do that. Remember, you could walk up to the gate and just be like, hey, good to see you.
Nor you could walk up to the gate and greet the person that you were, you got off the flight.
They were right there.
And they were at the gate.
And now it's this weird moment where, like, you get off the plane, you see everyone who's waiting to get on the plane, and then you get to the right where you start reading the sign that says baggage claim. There's just this mob of people staring at you.
There's a couple airport bars I'd hang out in.
You know, there, what is it? What's the one? Is it Anthony's?
Oh, they're closed.
The one we went to?
No, they're closed.
What?
Oh, they shut that all down.
Son of a bitch!
All the good stuff they took out. They took out the Wendy's. They took out the Anthony's. They took out.
I just think about that Cheeky Pete's or whatever.
Now it's all foo-foo crap.
I hate that.
It really is.
It's an airport,
it sucks,
man.
Like,
and listen.
This is local cheese. I don't give a flying F.
We don't care.
I don't care.
I don't live here.
I really don't care. The cheese on the Wendy's burger was fine.
Right.
I don't care if that was from, you know.
I don't even know what it's made of.
I don't
care. It's fine.
Right. Yes.
And the problem with getting foo-foo, it's just airports notoriously. It's like a hospital, right? They're going to do the best they can, but it's never going to be on par.
No.
So last time I flew, my daughter's hungry. We went to an Asian restaurant, right? And I'm looking at the menu. Like, this all sounds very good, but I know it's not. I'm not getting sushi from here. Like, no. I don't know what it is, man.
Trust me. At the airport now, they back up a big ciabatta truck. It just sucks.
Yeah.
Ciabatta. Like, oh, no. So go away.
Shoot out the back.
I know.
Well, these guys, they didn't do it on a Sunday, Miles.
Mm-hmm.
And they got their Chick-fil-A.
Oh, it has arugula. Thank God. Yeah. I've been looking for a sandwich with arugula, haven't you?
Usually I put this stuff in my compost after cleaning my yard.
Jesus.
So we pour this booze and we drink this booze because we think it's yummy.
Yummy!
So over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies.
Down the hola, bitchola!
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Men's Room podcast. Want more of the Men's Room? The greatest story never told with Miles and Thrill. Also available on radio.com.
Oh, man!
a Double Flush production.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.